Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin AC, Padres beat writer. Jay Poser, sports editor of the Union Tribune, joins me. Jay, I've been living this, trying to figure this out. The Padres have lost four in a row, 20 of 28. They were 16 up on August 11th. They are five games over 500 now, if I am doing my math and I memorized it. And I just remembered, wow, there's six games left on this trip. And I don't say this to be facetious. I don't say this to be, anything. It's a reality. They could be below 500 when they get home because it seems like they might not win.
Well, it's interesting. And I was thinking about this, what we talked about when this trip started. And I think, and I didn't go back and listen, but I think at one point you said something like, you know, boy, maybe if they were to go 4-6 or that, and I think I might have even thrown out 3-7. And now it's like, and I don't know at the time when I said that, I'm not sure I saw where they were going to win three games, but you kind of figured, okay, well, I mean, they really can't be this bad, can they?
Who doesn't win three games?
Right. Three games on the road. I mean, that's winning 3 out of 10. I mean, that you normally get a couple just for showing up, but they are so bad right now, even worse than when I've said they were bad before, that it's hard to see how they're going to, I mean, it sounds ridiculous. And of course they're not going to go winless for the rest of the year. Right. But it just, it's like you look every night and you go, how are they going to win this game? Now, maybe tomorrow, I mean, tonight it's Jake Arrieta starting against Di Sclafani, who's been great all year. And then, okay, you look at tomorrow. All right, Joe Musgrove's pitching. So, and the Giants are throwing a bullpen game. But right now, it doesn't matter who the other team throws at the Padres. They don't hit anybody. So, and it almost doesn't matter who the Padres throw because, number one, they don't have anybody left. And the people they do have, I mean, Musgrove's the only one who's, I guess, a reliable starter at this point. I don't know. I don't know what, I mean, we can talk about what's happened. We can talk about who's to blame. I think there's a lot of blame to go around. It's hard to see this team winning enough. I mean, they have to win seven games the rest of the year just to get to 500 for the season. That's unfathomable that this team that we talked about all year, you know, and basically thought itself played this season like, hey, we're going to be there in October. We're going to rest guys. We're going to make sure we're fresh. They can't win right now.
So, Jay, all of it. And you're right. There is blame to go around. I'll have a story later today trying to look into some of it that I don't necessarily – not prepared to get into right here now. And there will be – I believe this will be a scratching of the surface in terms of writing the obituary of the season. But, when you say that, Jay, when you say like – it's hard to see where they win seven games and there are 18 and a half left. There's 18 and two and a half innings to go with the makeup of the game against the Braves. I mean, that's sort of ridiculous to say, but it's not. They are 8-20 over the last month. Like they won 8 out of 28. It's not a funk that you go, oh, well, they're going through a stretch. This is the end of the season when it was supposed to be a ramp up, and they have not been able to find a way. And they're not scoring a lot. They're scoring a little. They are for 13 games. It appeared, hey, cool pitching staff, man, for starting rotation. We can really count on those guys to keep us in games. Now it wasn't working out so much for those games to then be won, but the starting pitching wasn't blowing it like it had been for most of the year. As a matter of fact, I kind of broke it down in the newsletter this morning. Didn't have a lot to say. It might have been the shortest newsletter ever, but I did break down the starting rotation and basically for 7.5 weeks. So for just under two of the season's. Right now, 5.5 months, the starting rotation has been what we expected, which is the strength of the team. Mm-hmm. So none of it's coming together. And then you contrast it when you go to the Dodgers and you go to the Giants. First off, tough task to play the top two teams in the major leagues. But those are teams that have, you know what, believe it or not, the Giants have had their troubles this year. But it doesn't show up in the win-loss column. It only shows up in the win column most of the time because the offense picks up the pitching. The pitching picks up the offense. Lo and behold, you get a runner or two on and some guy hits a homer. That's how the Giants win. The Dodgers did it all weekend to the Padres and sweeping them, hitting home runs. Excellent pitching, obviously. That's no news flash.
Right.
Jay?
We talk about winning seven games, though. They still have nine games left against the Giants. Now, there's a chance that some of those, that maybe the last three won't matter to the Giants because maybe they'll have, of course, by that point, I don't see how they're going to matter to the Padres either, other than getting to 500. But, I mean, the way things are going now. But they have nine games with the Giants. They have three more with the Dodgers. They have three with the Cardinals, who seem to be the only team right now really interested in winning the second wild card. A game right now, and then as we mentioned, 3.5 against the 3 1/3 against the Braves. So there are no soft spots coming up. You know, it's funny. Last night, I was mainly watching football, I watched the first half of the Raider game against the Ravens, and it got to halftime right at the moment that the Padre game started. Mm-hmm. So it was good timing. Flipped over to that. You know, the Padres went out on what seemed like -3 pitches, I think, in the first inning, which happens quite a bit.
Six pitches, yeah. Uh-huh.
Six pitches. And the Giants came up, and they put the Giants lineup on the screen. And it was like, okay, Chris Bryant's not playing. Buster Posey's not playing. Tommy La Stella is hitting leadoff, and he hits one 4-14 to start the game. It's 1-0. Then Lamont Wade is hitting cleanup, a guy that I think they just got off the scrap heap, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you look at the lineup. I mean, Darren Ruff is hitting third. Lamont Wade's hitting fourth. You know, Casale's the catcher. You look at the Padre lineup, and it's kind of like – it's reminding me of Saturday Night Live skit when you know, Dukakis – that Dana Carvey was acting like a doofus as George H.W. Bush, and Dukakis was like, I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. And it's a little bit like that with the Giants. It's like, look at the Padre lineup on paper. Look at the Giants lineup on paper. If you could have picked one that you wanted at the start of the season, I don't think there's too many people who would have said, give me the Giants lineup. And yet the Giants are blasting home runs all over the place. You know, they're winning all the time. I mean, 94 now? 94 and 50. It's incredible. They've got just an amazing season. And I would say they have probably overachieved as much as the Padres have underachieved. Could certainly try to make that argument.
And here's the saddest part that the Padres are going to have to live with if they, well, I don't know if it's blowing it anymore when you don't have the lead in the wild card, though they do have.
No, the season would be blowing it in terms of the big picture. But this would have, if they don't make the playoffs, I think you would say that they blew
it. Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Especially since in the course of reporting about the Padres and kind of what's going on with them, I talked to people around the league, people that, you know more baseball than the two guys on this podcast and know more than most people and know more about the teams in the National League. And they still believe that the Padres are the only team among the wild cards that are a playoff team, and that once they get to the playoffs, could actually do something. They think the Reds are horrible. The Cardinals have too many holes to really do. They've got some good pitching, and they have a decent core of their lineup, but they have so many holes, they're not a playoff team. And it's not just like fans and those of us who follow the team that are sort of flabbergasted. It's like no one can understand why the Padres haven't sort of run away with the second wildcard spot because none of the other teams are that good. And so here you are. This Hot Lava Padres podcast segment is brought to you by Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, located in Escondido and serving the San Diego community for over 60 years.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the auto all-stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell, Chrysler Dodge, Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
So where do, and I don't know if this is part of your story or if they just don't know, but I mean, we talked about, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. So where does the blame start with these folks and that say, hey, the Padres should be running away with this, you know, with this playoff spot, and they're not. So that means that X, Y, Z, and a bunch of other letters aren't basically, you know, aren't doing their jobs. Where do they start with that?
I think it starts with pitching. And then there's people in baseball do believe in chemistry and then that sort of thing. They just do. I don't know what to say to those of us who are skeptical of that, or those people that are skeptical of that. They do believe in that. And and some of the people obviously outside of the clubhouse are getting their information secondhand, as I would be, but there's something missing there. And, you know, it may be systemic, you know, it may be a culture, and this is something that the Padres are going to have to sort through and kind of pick apart here as this, or when this thing goes wrong. Right now, what they're trying to do is salvage it, because it is, for all of this, like, the two of us, I think, for the first time, are sort of at a loss for anything to say other than the things we've been saying for months. And sure. and trying, I think we're trying not to write the obituary yet, because they're, you know, still breathing. The Padres are in the same situation. It's like, we're half game out of the wild card. That's what they'll say today. Yesterday it was, we're still in wild card position. And that is sort of the reality, right? Like, and they still talk about, even the most pessimistic people in that are with the team still talk about, hey, if we win, or this is how we win, or whatever. And it's like, you know, got to remember that they're still trying to win this season. Even though I understand it looks like they're not, they're still trying to win this season. I think we should talk about, so let's just take that at face value. Like, okay, Padres are still in it. So let's talk about the reality. Blake Snell almost certainly is not going to start Friday unless there's some sort of miracle. All right. You don't certainly leave a game with an adductor, which is basically a groin. They call it tightness, whatever. It's a precursor to a strain, or else they're lying and it is a strain. And it wasn't better yesterday. It was maybe worse. And so he's not going to start Friday. So, what are you going to do there? Thursday, what are you going to do there with Chris Paddock out? Chris Paddock has a elbow inflammation. They don't believe that it's, you know, that part of the elbow, that, you know, thing right. that we know, first thing you think of with an elbow. But look, the reality is, how could there be any guarantee at this point that either one of those two guys pitches again?
No, absolutely. And even if they did, there's no guarantee that it would make any difference. I mean,
right.
from what we've seen. But in terms of, like, trying to make this salvageable.
Yes.
It's a better team when Paddock and Snell pitch.
That's where
when they don't. But I read this quote and it might have been in our stories. It might have been somewhere all over the place. I'm not sure, but the last place that I happened to see it, and so I remember it being in this particular place, was the Washington Post had a story on the Padres situation over the weekend that Chelsea Janes, who used to cover the Padres a little bit for MLB.com, wrote the story for the Washington Post. And there's a quote in there at the very end from Joe Musgrove that, and you've written quotes like this, this is all year long, we've heard this is going to go on the tombstone of this team if they, you know, continue, if they get, end up being buried before this, you know, before the postseason. And Musgrove said, we've been saying it a lot, we're too good of a team to be playing this way for much longer. I mean, how many times has Jace Tingler said that? How many times has Musgrove said it? How many times has every player said it? And yet, as I think I've pointed out before, at some, you know, a little while ago, at some point you become what your record says you are, and it's not what the paper, you know, what the projections say you are. And right now the record tells you that you're not very good. And so, too good of a team to be playing this way for much longer, I guess that'll be how we remember this team, that they were too good of a team to be this bad, but they were. So what happened? And I think this, you know, you mentioned the culture and all that. I guess if you're going to start with a culture, to me, then you have to look at the manager, because for all the things that I don't think managers do, I think one thing that they do have to do, and maybe the most important thing they do, is creating a culture. And then I think the other thing that goes along with that is the leadership in the clubhouse. And we've heard a lot about Hosmer and Machado being great leaders. And right now you have to say you're just not seeing it from any of those people, because whatever has gone on with this team, or whatever is going on with this team, they've had a long time to fix it. And they kind of held it together a little bit, but starting on August, whatever that Wednesday was against the Marlins, when everything fell apart from that point, then they went to Colorado or Phoenix and Denver and got swept. From that point on, none of those people that I mentioned or anyone else has been able to solve whatever this mystery is.
Yep. And without a doubt. And to me, probably the most troubling thing long term, and look, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other, maybe, I don't know, it's flip a coin, what's the biggest problem, is the offense's inability to score. Maybe you look at it and you go, maybe Yu Darvish isn't Yu Darvish anymore. I don't know. There's obviously, you got 2 years and $45 million to find out still. You know, maybe this is just he's going through a rough patch. I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, you hope he doesn't give up a home run every three innings for the rest of that contract. That's going to be tough to take.
You know, maybe there were some mistakes made on player acquisition and they're not as good. Plus, there's a culture problem. Plus, mm-hmm. you know, this other, it's not like, you know, it's one of these things. It's kind of them.
Yeah.
Because whatever culture, you know, I think that the Padres have probably had a pretty good culture, that had a pretty good clubhouse during many of their 45 losing seasons. Sure. You know, guys who liked each other, who just weren't very good. I do think this thing is sort of spiraled out of control. Expectations are, I believe this in my life. So I don't have expectations. It makes my life a lot better. Expectations are, you know, the root of a lot of problems. And when you expect to be a 95 win team and you're on pace to be a 80 win team, it's going to make everything seem worse. And, you know, trying too hard can then lead to not really given a flying, you know, rat.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a whole lot of stuff, and that's why I talk about like what we're doing here, and what I'll be, finishing up a story is sort of like the starting of the unpacking of it all. But I think that the Padres are starting to try to identify some things that, you know, are wrong, and it was just hard to get your arms around just even the concept of, like, this is where we're at in the middle of September. Right. Like you said earlier, Jay, everything in the beginning of the season was pointing to, we're going to need to be rested. We're going to, you know, and that was really hard to find fault in. It just was. The results were there and the expectations were there. And if it had worked out, we would have, and they had not done it that way and they'd gotten in the playoffs, we would have ripped them for being tired because they didn't prepare along the way. I do think a big part of this, no matter what they say, and the bullpen doesn't like that this is being said, I think that the bullpen had to be ridden too hard. Like I said in my newsletter today, talking about 7.5 weeks from the starting of good starting pitching, it's absolutely remarkable. You know that, so in this, you can check the newsletter out, but the bottom line is in that 13-game stretch from August 25th to September 10th, the starting pitching averaged 5 2/3 innings per start while putting up a 3.35 ERA. Okay, so that's not a great ERA. Okay, but in these other two stretches I identify, and they were all both in the first 2 months of the season, the starting pitching had a 2-something ERA and a 1-something ERA in these two stretches, but averaged 4 2/3 innings per start. So even when the starting pitching was good at the start of the season, the bullpen was having to fill an abundance of innings. And it has shown up big time. It has shown up big time. And then they brought in a reliever from Washington who was supposed to help them. And I don't say this to be facetious, but the results look like he's been in this bullpen all year and he had to throw like 90 games because Daniel Hudson has not been good since he's been here. So, there's some talent issues and some performance issues as well.
Who has the best deals in the auto game? It's got to be Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, the Auto All-Stars. Right now, lease a new 2021 Ram 1500 Warlock Edition, Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, or Jeep Renegade Latitude for only $198 a month, or 0% APR and no payments for 90 days. Head to Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Escondido, San Diego, where we make shopping easy. Find these deals during the Make This the Summer event today.
No, I was just going to say, and that's why I don't want to make it seem like the culture is the only thing I'm blaming, because I think there's a segment of people, and I would expect at this point, it's kind of hard. I mean, if this thing continues to spiral and nobody pulls him out of it, it's kind of hard to see how anybody could justify bringing Jace Tingler back next year as the manager. But that's not to say, and we saw this with the Larry Rothschild issue, that when you get rid of somebody like that, that's going to solve all their problems. This is more than a culture issue in the sense, and especially to me, and I think it's hard for you and me and probably a lot of people to understand this, but let's say the culture isn't quite right. Is that a reason why someone like Trent Grisham, and I don't mean to single him out, but he just came to mind first. Is that a reason why Trent Grisham is hitting 240? Or whatever it is, and has just looked and has looked kind of lost defensively? You know, he missed a play last night that you would expect him, to make, or expect a fielder of his caliber to make. It just seems like the players should be better than that, and it shouldn't matter. Maybe some of them don't like their manager. There's a lot of people in their line of work who don't like their manager. Does that mean that you just go, well, whatever, I'm not going to do anything today? I mean, do these, you know, you start to wonder.
For a lot less money, too, guys, by the way.
For a lot less money. Do these, is there, does anybody have a sense of pride, you know, in there? And I'm not saying all the guys have tanked. I mean, there's some guys who have done well and everything. I'm not going to go through them all. But there, it just seems like, I don't know. It's hard to fathom that, okay, you've got this culture and maybe you don't like the manager and yeah, he messed up this Dodger game and oh, maybe we didn't make a move at the trading deadline. You know, they won six of their first seven games after the trading deadline. So if they were all upset, which is, I know one theory going around that they all got in a funk because there weren't any big moves made at the trading deadline, they sure didn't show it right at the beginning. I mean, they won those games up in the first week of August. So again, that's why I say there's so much blame to go around. It starts with AJ Preller. He put together this roster that's not performing. Now, whether it's not performing for the reasons we've talked about, or because maybe these guys just aren't as good as everybody thinks they are, which you mentioned earlier, but from him on down, there is a lot of people that deserve a lot of blame for what's happened. And I don't want to just have it pawned off as, oh, well, it's the culture, because it's more than that, but that's certainly a part of it.
Yeah, we all, whatever happens here, maybe we should all go back and look at different times in the history, say after Andy Green was fired, say after Bud Black was fired, say after Bruce Bochy was fired, and in that moment, everybody identified what the problem was and things are going to be better now.
Of course. How many hitting coaches were fired?
Yeah. Those are, I mean, I'm really glad that you put that perspective in there, Jay. You're right. The story of the season is probably going to be, we're too good to be doing this. You know, I got a lot of emails when the team was winning and I was feeling bad that I couldn't, you know, I try to answer as many emails as I can. And I just couldn't keep up. Oh my gosh. When a team that was supposed to win starts losing the emails, I mean, it's unbelievable. A lot of them have to do with that. And some of them are actually pretty funny. People fed up with the Padres saying that we're too good. You know, on October 3rd, some people said that those are going to be the postgame quotes.
I feel bad. I don't know Jace Tingler. I've never met him and probably never will. But I feel bad that every day he has to go up there and answer the same question, you know, the same stuff all the time. What is he supposed to say? Yeah, you know what? I've just decided we suck. We're not going to win any more games. You know, I'm out. I mean, he has to believe that this is going to turn around. But after months and months of saying it's going to turn around and then it doesn't, it does look somewhat ridiculous. And it obviously, I don't blame anybody for being tired of hearing it. I just don't know what else. If you were in their position, what else would you say?
He has to believe it. And then even when he doesn't believe it, he sort of has to say it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay. Look, so there you have it. A thoroughly depressing a synopsis of where the Padres are at, but anything else would have been unrealistic. You know, you've got Arrieta to recap. You've got Arrieta going tonight. That's great. He found his old release and he, you know, gave him five innings last time. And if I'm not mistaken,
right.
Super. That's still a guy you picked up in the middle of August out of desperation. And, you know, okay, Joe Musgrove going to tomorrow. All right, great. That's been your most consistent starter. I don't see how you could not, relatively speaking, feel really good about Joe Musgrove being on the mound. What do you do Thursday? What do you do Friday? And like you said, Jay, and that's the bottom line, is like, it's not that it was guaranteed or that you were like, oh, these are certain wins if Chris Paddock and Blake Snell are on the mound. But right. If they're not, like, where are you? They had to cover four innings last night with the bullpen because you Darvish. I mean, it's Darvish day. That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right. I was going to say, what do you said, what do they do Thursday? What do they do Friday? What do they do Saturday? I mean, obviously, Yu Darvish goes out there and pitches, assuming that he's healthy enough to go out there. And whether he is or not, I don't know. He certainly looks like something is not quite right with him. But it's just day after day. It's sort of what do you, you know, and then Sundays you're back at the same thing with Arrieta again. So I don't know. It's what do you do basically every day at this point? I mean, you have to hope for the Padres have to hope that this is the day that it turns around, but it's really hard to see how that, you know, sort of what the path is to that happening.
I also don't want to, my last thought, and this is not meant to be facetious, because like, this is one of the mantras of my life. Be careful what you ask for. If it gets to this point, I would hope that some people would stop and think, man, we've been clamoring for Mackenzie Gore all year. If Mackenzie Gore has to start for the Padres this year, it's because the season is over.
Right.
And I don't know that that's going to happen, because there's been a confidence issue. And so I don't know that they're going to bring this guy up to face, you know, maybe the Cardinals. I don't know
if they're going
to bring this guy up to face the Braves, the Giants, the Dodgers. Because after the Cardinals, that's all that's left. So bring the poor kid to start in Busch Stadium. I'm just saying, like, no, you needed the players on this team to perform better.
Exactly.
So there we are. Okay, three more left against the Cardinals, and we'll have
The Giants.
The Giants, and then we will have a very happy hot lava on Friday from St. Louis before the three-game series against the Cardinals.
Sounds great.
Talk to you later.